This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
The last chapter of the book of Luke. The title of this message tonight, Do You Just Seek Blessings or Do You Seek to Bless? I'm going to give you three illustrations tonight from the Word on this particular subject. God has been speaking to my heart afresh on these things, and I know that He's ministered to me, and I trust that He'll minister to you tonight in a very special way. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You have been speaking one thought all day today. I continuously stand back and am amazed at how that You just are speaking to us as a church right here in the heart of New York City. That, Lord, You have purposes and plans for so many people. You want to make a difference. And so You speak to our hearts. Do You just want my blessings? Or do You want me to use You to bless? God, write this into our heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 24, just a couple of verses here. You can read back a little bit to get the whole picture of what is happening. Jesus, after He rises from the grave, He is seen really with these disciples for approximately 40 days, and then He is taken up into heaven. And verse 50 is, you get a picture of what He's doing now with these disciples. In verse 50, He leads them out, and He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. Now, this is towards the end of this 40 days that Jesus has been risen from the grave. He's been seen among them at different places. He's been in Galilee with them. As you can read in the Gospel of John, there's just different occasions that He has met with His disciples. But at this point in time, He's about to be taken up into heaven. He's about to be just taken up, and that'll be the last time that these disciples see Him manifested in this particular fashion. And so He takes them out of Jerusalem. He leads them out, and they go down through the valley up to the Mount of Olives, where Bethany is. And it's on this particular mount that He blesses them. And, you know, it's so pictorial, because in the Christian walk, He will always lead us out of our fears, our sins. He'll always lead us out of those things that captivate us. Before we will know the full blessing of God, there's always a leading out. He's always going to take us out of those, that walled city, as it were, that has captivated us, the place of fear and maybe anguish. He leads them out of that place of evil desire. There's always a leading. So God in our life, you're here tonight because God led you here. It wasn't just random choice. You woke up and said, I'm going to go to church on Sunday night at Times Square Church. It's God. He leads us. He guides our lives, and He will lead us into these places to lead us out so that He can bless us. Now, you've got to see this picture. So they're standing on the Mount of Olives, and He's talking to them. He's relating to them. Luke here in verse 52 and 53 says, immediately they worshipped Him when He was carried up, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were in the temple praising God. Now, 52 and 53 are, He's really jumping ahead. There's several things that take place prior to 52 and 53 of these verses, and we'll pick that up in a little bit. But you've got to see this picture, that here is Jesus. He's talking to the disciples, and He's just shared with them in verse 49, and he said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. I've brought you out to set you free, to send you back." No, you're not getting out of that marriage that easily. No, you're not getting out of that job tomorrow. Oh, I'll lead you out and deal with your heart, but I'm sending you back. Because if I don't send you back, then you won't know what it is to be separated unto me and to be endued with power from on high. You see, God wants to cause you to be a blessing where you're at. Now, it is true He takes us out and He ministers to our hearts and our lives. That's absolutely true. He's got to do that. He's got to speak into those issues of my heart and my life that I've surrounded myself with these walls, don't let people in or situations out. And God will lead us out only for the purpose to take us back into that city so that, but it'll be different. Because when we go back in, His whole purpose and goal is that we're going to go back into the situation, but we are going to be different. There's going to be an endowment from on high that's going to cause your life to be a blessing in that hard place. That's His desire. And so he brings them out. And it's an amazing scripture. In verse 51 it says, "And it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven." And so it's so pictorial because there He is, He's been taken up, and all the while that Jesus is going up into the heavens, He's blessing them. He's spoken to them, He's guided them, He's led them out, He's spoken into their lives, He's instructed them. And the last thing that they are seeing is the Son of God blessing, blessing, blessing. As He's been taken up into heaven, God is blessing them. This is the Son of God, and He's sending blessing upon their lives. It's an enormously wonderful picture. It kind of gives you the idea that sin has been removed. It's been nailed to the cross. The power of hell has been bound and broken. And the Son of God is now free to bless His people. Wonderful to see this taking place. Turn with me now to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And we pick up the story again by Luke the apostle, who wrote the book of Luke, obviously, and also the book of Acts. He's the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. Now look at this. He says, you've got to understand, in verse 7, we pick up the story. They're still on the Mount of Olives. So when verse 7 and 8 are being spoken, it's on the Mount of Olives when He's standing there with them. And He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, now remember, we've just come from Luke, and He was speaking to them, and then He was taken up into the heavens, and He was, while He was blessing them, and behold, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now look at verse 10. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by Him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." You see, beloved, the church is so like this. We so want to camp in the blessings of God. It's awesome. Yes, Jesus is going up into heaven and He's blessing them. He's giving them directions. You're going to be endued with power from on high. But we just so like to be in the place where we are just being blessed from heaven. And we love to stand under the blessing of God. And there they are standing, gazing up into heaven and hearing the words of Jesus as he's going up and blessing them. And this is so like us. We want to come into a place. And there is a time and there is a place where God leads us out and he deals with things in our lives and he brings us out and he takes us to that secret place and he deals with our hearts and our lives. And there is a place to come and be blessed. That's why Jesus led them to this place. He led them to the Mount of Olives. And he did bless them. There is a time and there is a season where God will just bless your life because he loves you. He'll just bless you. He'll bless you because he's touched your heart, your life, and he'll just begin to bless your life. But the danger is getting caught up in thinking, that's all God wants to do in my life. That's the danger. And it's not the only thing that he wants to do. Yes, he does want to bless me. Yes, I want to stay in that place of that area of the blessing of Almighty God until suddenly we start getting nudged on the side by somebody next to us. Don't nudge me. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm in this place of blessing. Well, no, don't nudge me. No, God will, many times, he will send somebody to nudge us. We get so caught up in thinking that this is what life of Christianity is coming to church and getting blessed. And there is a part of that. He says, don't forsake the gathering together of yourselves as the manner of some is, the Hebrew writer says to the church. So we do gather together, but this is only part of why we're here. For him to lead us out, to speak to us, and to bless us. And then he comes, then the Holy Spirit has to come and nudge us. Move us. Why are you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus is going up, he'll come back again. When the church is raptured, you'll see him. He'll come back again. But I want to tell you that the Holy Ghost is about to come upon your life. You see, God will touch us and bless us to send us into that place, that secret closet with him. He'll touch us. If the blessings of God, if this church service tonight, all day, if you've been here all day, if the word of God has not so spoken to your heart to send you back home to the secret closet. And that's what the Holy Ghost is doing. He nudges them. Move on. He's already spoken to you. Go back in. Go to the secret closet. I want you in prayer. I want you spending time alone with God. Why? Why do we want to go back there? Because God wants to make you a blessing. We often say to people, you know, don't seek the blessing, seek the one who gives the blessing. I want to take it a step farther. It's true, we should seek the one who blesses us. But the one who blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Life is not worth living unless if it's just this. And this is awesome. This is great. The presence of God is here. But this is not what it's all about. He wants to take our lives and he wants to make you, every single person in the house here tonight, he wants to cause you to be a blessing in somebody else's life. Every single time that I've seen God do something in our lives, I remember different occasions. It's been because in the difficult times we've known the blessing of the Lord, and then suddenly it's been like God has called us to come away aside and into that secret place, that closet of prayer with him, and find that place as they were for 10 days. They were shut up in that upper room. There's that time and season. There's a time of blessing. There's a time to be led out to be, get God deal with our hearts. There's a time to receive blessing from Almighty God. But there's also a time that God says, I want you in that secret place. I want to speak to you. I want to put things into your spirit. I want to show you things that you won't get anywhere else. There's not a book that you can go to the bookstore. I don't care who the writer is. And there's many of these self-help books today. They can tell you about your destiny. They can tell you about anything you want, but you will never find it in that book. Oh, it might stir you up and say, well, that's great, but you'll never find it. Every time that I look back and see that my wife and I, that God has brought us through some difficult place, or He's opened up a brand new door of ministry to us, or He's led us to another place, even coming to the United States. Every single time it's been when we were shut in that secret place and we were alone with God, God spoke into our hearts. And this is what... this is exactly what He's doing. You see the process. It's wonderful to be in the blessing of God. But if the blessing of God here tonight doesn't stir us to be alone with Him, to hear God speak into the very deep recesses of our heart, that we in turn can bless others, why are we here? And every one of you, God wants to do this in your life. He doesn't want you just to seek the blessings. He wants you to seek Him so that you can be a blessing. It's going to be an amazing thing how God does this. He'll do it. He says, I want you to be my witnesses. So the Holy Ghost comes upon them and they become witnesses to Him. It's an amazing thing to see these disciples after this time alone with God, and they've been in the blessings of the Lord. They've been, God's touched their heart and life. But when they come out of that upper room and the Holy Ghost has come upon them. Beloved, I want to tell you that outside of these doors, there is a world of blind people, deaf people, lame people, people who cannot call out to God. There are people there so bound by demons and devils waiting for you. Waiting for you. And God will do it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you how God will do it. These men came out of the upper room and the Holy Ghost took them into these places where lame people began to jump up and begin walking. God wants to speak into the deep recesses of His church. It's not enough for Him to deal with sin in your life. It is not enough for Him to bless you out of heaven. It's not enough that you just get locked aside in a secret closet with Him. It is not enough for these things. It is enough because when we come out, that we will be a blessing to somebody else. You see, so many times we don't believe that. We're still being led out and we can't see that God wants to do this in my life. I want to share an illustration with you that God put in my heart for you tonight. Turn with me to the book of Philemon. And you'll get that just before the book of Hebrews. It's just after Titus. You get Timothy, Titus, and then you get this book. Depending on your accent, it's either Philemon. Or Philemon. Probably the Greek is totally different. It's a little letter, 25 verses long. And it's an interesting letter. Because the Bible says in Philemon verse 1, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So Paul is in prison in Rome. And Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in the house. So here is this man. In verse 19, the apostle Paul says to Philemon that you owe your very self to me, that his salvation and what he's doing was through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. That's what verse 19 indicates. So yeah, we have this church in this household. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm going to show you something tonight, how God works. It's awesome. The Bible doesn't tell us, except at a few couple of hints every place else, that there were any particular difficulties in this church. In verse 2, it says Apphia and Archippus were, you know, he writes to Philemon and he mentions these two. Most commentators say that that's his wife and that is his son. His son happens to be, and whether it's his biological son or spiritual son, it really doesn't matter. There is a close relationship between Philemon and Sister Aphia and Brother Archippus. Archippus is in ministry in Colossae, and you can pick up his name. Don't even turn there. I'll read it to you. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now, God writes this to the Colossian church and to this young man by the name of Archippus, who obviously is related to Philemon in some spiritual or biological way. But the church in Colossae was heading off in a direction of Gnosticism, which is just knowledge without any requirement of righteousness or holiness. So it was a perverted gospel. They were moving into this direction of bless me, bless me, bless me, but it doesn't matter how I live my life. And so there's this influence. And see, God is interested in using your life. It's not just enough to say bless me and then live how I want to live. God wants us in the secret place. He wants to speak to us. But if the pursuit of our heart and our life are the things of the world, we're going to be kept from that secret place and hearing from God. And we'll never know the endowment of power that causes our lives to be a blessing to somebody else. And so there's this church. And who knows what influence is going on here, but there... The Apostle Paul writes to Philemon, this church, they're probably worshiping God, they're having a great time, they're blessing God, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, here is this church that's growing and being blessed, and I can just see them just congregating, and that's all that they are, being blessed, and if they are being influenced by the Colossian error that was beginning to creep in, that was corrected, then they would be also heading into this place of just bless me, bless me, bless me. So all that I want is go to a church and just get blessed and go live my life the way I want to live it, when God wants to use your life for His purposes. It's so interesting because we maybe brush these things off. So here is this man, he's pretty wealthy, he's got this church in his house, and then one of the young men that work for him. Now, think it through. Here's this young man, and he's in this household. He probably, you know, waters the flowers. Who knows what Onesimus does in this household? Who knows what he does in the household? But here is this young kid in this household. It doesn't seem like very much at all to Philemon, I'm sure. But he steals from this guy. That's the sense of most commentators. I'm adding it because it's not here in these particular scriptures, but he says if he owes you anything, if he's wronged thee in verse 17, or oath anything, put that on my account, the Apostle Paul says. But look at what goes on here. Here is this young man in this household where this church is praising God. And while they're praising God, he's stealing them blind. And then he runs away. And I can see Philemon saying, well, good riddance. Great. He stole from us. Good. I'm glad he's gone. Not realizing that many times these nonchalant, these issues, the person who bumps into your car, just backs into your car and you think, what's going on? It's the person who does something to you on the job. It's this young man who just steals and goes, and there's no pursuit of his life. It's like, it's a nonchalant. As long as I'm being blessed, as long as the blessing of God is coming into my household, and we've got this church, we're being blessed, and life is going, I'm glad the guy's gone. Little thief. But not with God. You see, God wants to know something from Philemon. He wants to know, are you in this just for the blessings? Are you in this just for the blessings? Or do you know how to bless? Or do you know how to communicate? Paul says it this way in verse 6, that the communication of thy faith might become effectual. Your faith isn't working. He's writing, he's saying, I want it to be effectual. I want it to work. I want your faith to count. Thank God that you got saved under my ministry. Thank God that you've got this church in your house. Thank God that the blessings are coming down. Thank God that these things are going. But here's God just nudging him. I want to see, does your faith work? Is your faith really a real faith, or is it one just give me, give me, give me? And he's nudging him. This is the Holy Ghost. Beloved, you always know when it's something of God because God converts the problem. He has this kid. He lands up in prison. He gets saved. You've got to know this is God. This is God on the trail. This isn't just a happenstance. This is God bumping this Philemon. I believe in my heart when I was reading this, the Holy Ghost showed me as clear as anything, God is touching this man so that his faith might become effectual, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He says, Philemon, I've blessed you with every good thing out of heaven. I've given you, I've taken your sin from you, I've given you the power of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to ask you a question. What's it doing to your faith? Just blessing? Or is God taking these blessings and causing you to go into the closet to seek His face and say, God, how can I be a blessing? God, take me back into the workplace. I'm sending you back into Jerusalem, folks. You will be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. You're going home with this faith. I'm not taking you out to any great place until you go, first of all, you go home with this faith. That's not just a bless me faith, but a faith that can touch my life to a depth where I can become now a blessing to somebody else. That's the heart of God. That's what he wants to do. This is whole story of Philemon. Now, you know, it's me. This is what I'm getting. Commentators are a little bit different, but I just love it. The language is just so covenant. If thou count me therefore a partner, the apostle Paul says, receive him as myself. Didn't Jesus say that in John chapter 17 when he's praying to the Father? Father, I want you to receive all these people as though you were receiving me. If they've done anything wrong, put it on my account. Put it on my account. Jesus has paid the full account for us. Jesus has paid it all. If he's done anything wrong, put it on my account. So I stand and I'm blessed, and God says, you can come back to the house. He says to Onesimus, you can go back into that household. Never to be seen again as a slave to sin, thieving. I'm sending you back because your faith needs to count. Philemon, can you receive him back? Is your faith just a faith of bless me? Or is it a faith that says I can bless the person who hurt me? You're going to need power for that. You're going to need power for that. You're going to need power to go back into that home where that spouse has been hurtful, ugly, violent. You're going to need power for that. It's great to be here, but God says, from this, you can go into that closet. Do you know what the Bible says in the Old Testament? That you can pray, Lord, put a hedge of thorns around him. Oh, you've got a wayward spouse. Pray a hedge of thorns around him. Get in the secret closet. God will put a prayer in your heart. He won't go too far before he gets jabbed by thorns all around him. God knows how to hedge in those that we pray for. It's not going to happen just because we praise the Lord. It happens because you go into the secret place with God. You get endued with power from on high. And then He takes your life into those places that you don't want to go back into. But when you go back in there, you go with the power of God and you are a blessing. I never want to do His washing again. I hope He falls off the bus and never comes home. But when you get in the secret place and you've been endued with power from on high, your prayer suddenly changes. Oh God, let me make the socks whiter than snow. Oh, when he comes home and that dinner's on the table, Lord, let the Holy Ghost convict him. Suddenly there's a new strength and grace to meet the day. Too often we are praying, God, deliver me. And God's saying, oh, I'll take you out for a season. Oh, yes, I'm going to bless you. But I'm sending you back. And you'll be found in the prayer closet. And I will endue you with power from on high. And you are going to be able to stand in my grace and my power. So this is what he's speaking to Philemon. It's a marvelous story. We think it's just a small story. It's no coincidence. It's God. I want to test your faith, Philemon. You know, a couple came into our office. I'm not saying here. This could be any couple, anywhere, anytime. 1,000 years ago. Definitely nobody here. And they sat down. Oh, she sat down with her arms closed like this. These are born again, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost sanctified, set free, on fire, send me to the nations Christians. Yeah. That's what they proclaim to you, and that's what you see in church. But they're sitting in my office like this. Don't touch me. Well, they're in $50,000 debt on credit cards. It's all his fault. She wants a divorce. His head is hanging. These are born again, spirit-filled, praising God, sanctified, separated. Send me to the nations, Christians. You see, these things come into our life. We talk about real issues. Things that are so unbelievable. I sometimes listen to issues that are so unbelievable. I have no idea how they webbed such intricate, complex, unfathomable difficulties. But they do. And I look at this and I say, have you been worshiping God? Have you been praying? Half of the counseling time is not, come on, let's believe God. Let's get through this. Let's, you know, that's my heart. My heart is, you know, I'm sure most of you are sitting there thinking $50,000 dead, I'd kill him too. But these things come. They happen. Things happen in life. They come to try and to test our faith to see, is our faith still able to be communicated? Are you able to communicate your faith to this thief, now saint? You were happy he's gone. But God's sending him back. The problem's coming back. You have to deal with it. What about the indignation of, well, has he really repented? Is he going to do restitution? Is he going to really grovel and so I can know? I haven't seen his tears. He's disturbing my time of blessing. My husband or my wife or my kid, they disturb my time of blessing. I get blessed here at Times Square Church, and then I go home and they just disturb my blessings. You see, the Apostle Paul says, no, this is God. Because it's no coincidence that this little thief lands up in Rome and gets converted, and God says, I'm sending him back because I want to see if you've been seeking me just for the blessings or the very things I've placed within you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you still able to communicate your faith when things don't go your way? Philemon, I want you to be a blessing. See, that's what the letter is about. The whole letter is the Apostle Paul writing, and he's saying, this is not me just writing, this is the Holy Ghost. This letter isn't just the Apostle Paul saying, well, let's rectify this problem, and he must get me a pen and paper, I'll write to that Philemon, and I'll fix everything up. No. This is the Holy Word of God. This is Holy Ghost anointed word. This is God saying, it's not enough to come to the house of the Lord and to worship me and to love me with all your heart, to praise me, and then have an inability to be able to communicate your faith and your love and your grace. I want you to be a blessing, even in the most ardent, difficult times of your life. God says, that's why I'm giving you the Holy Ghost. We want to be filled with power from on high. Why do we want the power of the Holy Ghost? So we can see our muscles ripple under the power of the Holy Ghost? Is it so that we can shake and shiver? Is it so that we can just get goosebumps up and down our neck? God says, no. I'm giving you power from on high that your life can go back into any circumstance, any situation, any problem, and you will be a blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tonight, let me ask you a question. Do you just want the blessings? Or do you want to be a blessing? You're facing an issue. This wasn't just because it was a sermon tonight. You are facing issues and you don't want to deal with it. You've been fighting against it. And you're saying, God, if only I was in another place. If only I did not get married. If only this didn't happen. If only we didn't have kids. If only we didn't get into debt. If only we didn't move. If only. You see, this message is the two angels nudging you either side. Go back. Oh, I blessed you. Now go back. Go back into Jerusalem. Ask me how I'm going to resolve the situation. Ask me. Get locked away with me. And then I'm going to fill you with power. I'm going to fill you with power. And that power in your life is going to cause you, like Philemon, to receive those that have wounded, hurt, bruised, aggravated, upset, caused you to struggle, made you mad, absolutely caused you to be angry in your soul. But now the Holy Ghost says, I'm going to use you to be a blessing. You're going to be able to turn around and bless. How many tonight want to be that kind of a blessing? Don't put your hands up. Don't put your hands up. How many of you want to recommunicate your faith under anointing? How many of you are tired of always praying, God, deliver me from the struggle, but you want now God to say, send me. Send me back with the power of the Holy Ghost. And let me be a blessing. Shall we stand together? Father, I thank you that you have spoken into our hearts. ask myself the same question. Do I just want your blessings? Or do I want my life to be a blessing? And Lord, there's no question in my heart. I've made my choice. I want my life to be a blessing. In Jesus' name. Let me ask you while you're standing, no one's moving around. How many here tonight? You're here because you're visiting. You're here because you are from a church background that maybe you have never heard things like this before. Or you've been coming because you are from another church and you've enjoyed the music and you do enjoy the preaching. But you've never, never said, Jesus, come into my life. This is the first part of the altar call. We need to make it because there's people who are here tonight that need Jesus. You haven't been led out of your sin yet. You haven't been led out of that captivity, that stronghold, and you want God to lead you out and set you free and to bless your life that you can ultimately be a blessing. Put your hand straight up in the air. Straight up. Don't be ashamed. Keep it up. Put it straight up and put it right up in the air. These hands. Look at these hands. Put it straight up. Don't fudge. Just keep it straight up in the air. Don't be ashamed. Jesus wasn't ashamed from going to the cross for you. Put it right up. God has spoken you. You want God to lead you out tonight and set you free once and for all. Put your hand straight up. God will see it. All right. How many tonight want their life to be a blessing? That's the second part of the altar call. Now, for those who got your hands up, I'm going to give you first opportunity. All those who got your hands up, just move right now to the aisle. Just start moving to the aisles. Everybody's got your hand up. You got your hands up, just move to the aisles right now and come down. We'll wait for you. Sir, right at the back, step out to the aisle. We'll wait for you. Come on down. Come on down, sir. You come on down. Move to the aisles. We're going to give you a chance to come down to this aisle first. So we can pray with you. You want to be led out to be set free, that God will bless your life. Just step out and you start coming down to the front right now. As they're making their way, then the rest of you who say, God, I want to be able to communicate my faith as a blessing, you can follow these coming to the altar right now. For all of those who put your hand up tonight that you want, you believe, I believe in my heart that God has led you here to this moment in time. He has led you. And it's like He led the disciples out. He's led you out of your seats to this place for one single purpose. And that is to remove from you the sin, bondage, power of hell, for your life to be given to Jesus and the life of Jesus Christ to come into you. That's the blessing of God. Now, I'm going to pray that with you. The Bible says in Revelation 3 verse 20 that He stands at the door and He's been knocking. This message is just the final knock. He's been knocking for some time on your heart. I believe that.
Amen.
And now is the moment when you will open the door of your heart. And Jesus says in the Bible, Revelation 3:20, that if you open, He will come in and He will sit down with you and He'll eat with you. You're going home tonight with Jesus. The problems may not be changed at home, but you will be. Now you pray with me. If that's your heart, those who put your hand up, I'm going to pray with you. I want you all to pray together so those round about you who've had their hands up praying, that they'll pray with us. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I've heard the knocking on the door of my life. And tonight, I open that door to you. I give you all of my sin. I acknowledge I am a sinner. And I have sinned against you. And I'm sorry. But tonight, I give you all of that. And I give you my life. Now, Lord Jesus, your Bible said that you would come in. So I ask you, and I invite you, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Live in me. Sit down with me. Go home with me. From tonight onwards, I am changed. Not because I've done any good works, but I have received God into my life by the name Jesus Christ. I believe right now I am a Christian, and I am saved, and on my way to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Now, everybody else who you want your life to be a blessing, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you power. Pray this with me. Holy Spirit, I invite you to take my cowardice, my compromise, my weakness, my angers, my disappointments, all the reasons I have neglected to be a blessing. I give them to you. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to baptize me afresh with power from on high. Holy Spirit, power of God, come into my life. Fill me with power. Fill me with courage. Fill me with love from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. So when I walk out of this house, I am a person filled with the power of God to be a blessing to all those who come in contact with my life. I now believe I am a person filled with the Holy Ghost and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I pray that your church has been blessed.
Yes.
And now I pray that as you send us back, that we don't go alone, but you're going with us. And when we get alone with you, you are going to speak secrets into our hearts that's going to make us so excited to be the blessing that you've called and caused us to be wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Give Him thanks.
This is the conclusion of the message.